This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last hadith we spoke about a depiction or image of certain things that begin to take place. We mentioned the hadith of washing or bathing with the water outside one's house, the hadith speaking about reading the Quran becoming like al-utrujja, like a citra, like an orange. Today's hadith also carries on giving an imagery, but this time of a punishment for an individual who doesn't practice what they preach of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept of imagery is even inside the Quran. That's what we find in the hadith. Whoever wants to see a depiction, image of Yawm al-Qiyamah, then let that person read Surah Al-Takwir and Surah Al-Infitar. Read these two surahs and you will see a depiction of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. And as a side point, near enough, the whole of Juz Amma is speaking about Al-Akhirah, Yawm al-Qiyamah, and likewise Juz Tabarak as well, to a large degree speaking about the hereafter. So the Quran gives this imagery, even though no one can really depict or understand Al-Akhirah, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses kalimat, words that maybe we can relate to, we can understand these words. As the Quran begins, it mentions وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهَا. They've been given certain things which are similar. That's Ibn Abbas inside his tafsir. It mentions that the words are the same as this dunya, the words that we use. Al-fawakih, al-nahar, al-layl, al-shams, al-qamar, food, drink, etc. that are mentioned inside the Quran, that we can understand these words. As for the entity or the identity inside Akhirah, it's something beyond something that we cannot even imagine. That's in the hadith Qudsi that we find, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. I prepared for my servants what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and that feeling or that thought hasn't come into the heart or the mind of any individual. So this is the struggle of the believer searching for something inside Al-Akhirah. As we began the month of Ramadan, Allah mentions or begins the Quran by mentioning ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is the book that contains no doubt. That our belief is in الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, who believe in the unseen. The unseen, the reward will be given in the hereafter. The actions that we do inside this dunya, we hope and we aspire to have the reward given inside Al-Akhirah. Some glimpses of reward may be given inside this dunya. That is, as ulama mentioned, known as bushra, a glad tiding for the individual to carry on. As for the ultimate reward, will be inside Al-Akhirah. And likewise, we find at times Allah may expose us to punishment on this world. And for some people, when they're exposed to a punishment or a hudud which is applied upon them, that becomes a form of purification for that individual inside Al-Akhirah. But there's going to be many individuals, if we can use such words, who become scout-free, become free. Think they're free from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one knows what they hide or what they conceal. And thus this hadith is a very strong hadith in terms of a warning for us Muslims to be worried about how we practice our faith, how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that on the Day of Judgment, يُؤْتَى الرَّجُلُ يُؤْتَى بِرَجُلِ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ. A man will be brought on the Day of Judgment and he'll be thrown into the fire. فَتَنْدِلِقُ أَقْتَابَ بَطْنِهِ. And you find that his intestines, his entrails will be coming out, bursting out, thrown out of his body. So his internal organs will be exposed in front of everyone. فَيَدُورُ بِهَا كَمَا يَدُورُ الْحِمَارُ بِالرَّحَّى. He's going to be walking around just like a donkey goes around the well or goes around the grindstone, the millstones, doing its hard labor. That's how this individual will be exposed. فَيَجْتَمِعُ إِلَيْهِ أَهْلُ النَّارِ فَيَقُولُونَ. The people of hellfire will come around this individual and say, يَا فُلَانْ مَا لَكَ. Oh, so-and-so, what is the matter with you? أَلَمْ تَكُنْ تَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Was you not one who used to order the good and you used to forbid the evil? فَيَقُولْ بَلَى قَدْ كُنْتُ أَمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا آتِيهِ. Indeed, I used to order you the good. I used to order the good, but I never done that good myself. وَأَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَآتِيهِ. I used to prohibit the evil, but I used to come and do the evil or the bad myself. Hadith marwahu Imam Muslim inside his Sahih. And that's as we find in this beginning of Ramadan that we find, and in general it's become a culture, unfortunately, amongst the people in the environment that we live in. We are always worried about other people's faults and mistakes. That's what many of us, unfortunately, life has become. The mistakes and the faults of other individuals. Or we find the other extreme of being overzealous inside our faith. That if I'm doing something, everybody should be at the same par. Everybody should be at the same level. Everyone should do exactly the same actions that I do. And sometimes many of the actions that we focus upon are just external actions. This is how, unfortunately, many of us Muslims have become judgmental of external actions. This is a display of religiosity. This is a sign of a person being a religious individual. And thus we find, unfortunately, in our community, we find what is known that people burn out. That their faith is only for a certain amount of time. Their Ramadan is only for Ramadan. That's all it is. After that, we see the repercussions of their faults inside Ramadan, of not focusing properly inside Ramadan. It has no impact for them for the rest of after Ramadan, or indeed for the rest of their life. And thus we find this is a prime opportunity that such ayat inside the Quran, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Oh, you believe? Save yourselves and save your family members. We can now possibly begin to understand such ayat. Because normally in the busy lifestyle, in the world that we live in, maybe a person begins to drift away. Just about offers their prayers. Just about comes to the masjid. Just about reads some Quran. But now look at this blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now here a person can fully focus. Ya yuladina amnu qu anfusakum. Save yourselves and your family members. Likewise, another place inside the Quran. It should not harm you. Man dalla idha hadaytum. That if people are getting misguided, even though the meaning of this ayah tafsir has been given, doesn't mean this, but we can extract that at this moment in time. That if other people, non-Muslims, are lost or astray, this is an opportunity for us. Alaykum anfusakum. Upon you, your own self, to now focus in your building your own iman towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's how does the Quran begin. The Quran begins by highlighting, mentioning, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. The Quran begins by speaking about أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ. Speaking about Bani Israel, because most of Surah Al-Baqarah speaks about Bani Israel, even Ali Imran, An-Nisa, حَتَّى مُعْظَمُ الْقُرْآنِ is Bani Israel. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَقُصُّ عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَكْثَرَ الَّذِي هُمْ فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Most of this Quran is narrating about Bani Israel. For what reason? Because we're the most closest to them in terms of our characteristics, our behavior, and even our questioning. Even we read the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, this continuous questioning that we find, the whole Surah Al-Baqarah is this question they kept on asking. Is this not a reflection of the Muslim Ummah today? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do something, something has been encouraged to do, split, hair splitting, asking questions. Is it like this? Should it really be like this? Is it really relevant in the modern world? Should we really do this now in the environment that we live in? Is this what we should practice now? Was that not for the previous people, for the 6th century? Was that not for the Arabs? That's not for us today. We live in a modern world. Same understanding. Same mantiq, same logic. That's the Quran is unique. The things that it speaks about. That's what ulama of ulum al-Quran mentioned. Al-ibra bi'umum al-lafzi. La bi-khusus al-sabab. You take the lesson from the generality of the words. Not that the specifics of revelation say, oh, that's speaking about Musa, that's speaking about Ibrahim, that's speaking about Al-Yahud, that's speaking about Al-Nasara. Quran is speaking to me, speaking to you, speaking to this Muslim Ummah. That's what the Quran is doing, to awaken us, to remind us not to make the mistakes and the faults of these individuals. So here the Quran says, do you order mankind with goodness? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And you forget about your own selves. أَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. And you recite the book. We can apply this today. That some of us Muslims busy telling other people, encouraging other people, but do we really practice Islam ourselves? وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. If we took the meaning here, obviously here it speaks about Torah, but we took it in today's meaning, Al-Quran. Al-Kitab is one of the names, Al-Kitab, one of the names of the Quran. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you seem to comprehend, seem to understand? It doesn't mean, it's not intellectual. It's stupidity, in other words, a person who doesn't, going around busy telling other people to do certain things. Then Allah mentioned, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. شَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala move away from speaking about ordering the good and forbidding the evil? And then begins to discuss, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. لِأَنَّ بِدَاهَةُ الْأَشْيَاءِ بَعْدَ التَّوْحِيدِ هُوَ الصَّلَاةِ. There's no point speaking about other things when the foundation of every single thing inside Islam is awwalan as-salah. Allah mentioned, wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Al-isti'ana bis-sabri was-salah. That's the life of the believer. Seek aid and assistance and strength via patience and via as-salah. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. This is going to be something very difficult. And it is difficult for many Muslims, except for al-khashi'een, those who are observant, those of khushu, those who yearn to return back to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though there's some da'f inside the hadith, some weakness inside the hadith, but give glad tidings to those individuals who visit the masajid or establish for them iman. Those who frequently visit the masajid, testify for them that they have iman. But there's other authentic hadith which speak about give glad tidings or give those individuals who come in the realms of darknesses, speaking about Salatul Fajr and Isha, give these individuals, give them glad tidings who come. And thus we find that Athqul Salah Al Munafiqeen, the most difficult prayer for the hypocrites, is what Salah? Al Fajr and Al Isha. Thus you find regarding Fajr that even if you had to come crawling like a baby on the floor, crawling on all fours, if you knew the ajr, you knew the reward, you would come. But what we find amongst us Muslims is evident in front of us that the rush, if the masjids were open, how the masjid will be full for Salatul Taraweeh, even though Salatul Taraweeh is only a highly recommended action. We don't encourage anyone to miss it. But why don't we have that same mindset for our daily Salah? Why don't we have that mindset, feel that upsetting feeling, I'm going to miss Taraweeh? That's what people say, you're getting me late for Taraweeh. Why don't we have that mindset, you're getting me late for a farida? You're getting me late for coming to the masjid. Especially many of us, masajid are many. Exposure to the masajid is easy for us. But yet many of us, we make excuses. And that's even before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ آتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. So in between these ayat, Allah speaks about those people who encourage other people to do good. But prior to this, Allah talks about, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. Then after again, Allah speaks again, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. لِمَاذَا? Why is Allah coupling salah again and again? وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And many of the fuqah have gone to the view that using this ayah as a verse, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, shows an obligation, or high obligation, high encouragement, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, to pray in jama'ah, to pray in congregation, to frequent the masajid, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based upon this ayah. Bow down with those who bow down is a commandment. Then if we continue Surah Al-Baqarah, we find more ayat speaking about this mindset of being worried about other individuals taking certain teachings of Islam. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Do you believe in part of the scripture, part of the book, and you reject another part of the book? Once again, we can apply this to us Muslims. We believe in certain things of the Qur'an, or we practice certain things of the Qur'an, and obviously we don't reject them, but we reject them in the sense that we don't practice them, or we leave them out, or we don't give them importance. Then again, Allah mentions inside verse 101 of Surah Al-Baqarah, كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَرَاءَ ظُهُورِهِمْ كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. They throw the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind their backs. كَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Ajib, strange again. Exactly what Muslims will do. Soon as Ramadan is over, you find the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes behind their backs. And it is sometimes, may Allah forbid, is far beyond that. They are hufadh, people who memorize the Qur'an. And the only time they read the Qur'an is in Ramadan. The only time they practice their Islam is in Ramadan. And then it's thrown behind their backs. Hujjah alayhim. And evidence against them, may Allah forbid. Not that we wish that for them. Because they are people who hold the Qur'an inside their hearts. Thus you find narration that mentions a person's heart which contains the Qur'an, that body will not be burnt. That's a blessing for that individual. And they need to thrive on that blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed His blessing inside their hearts. That they have the Qur'an. Thus you find again a strong hadith which mentions, depicting al-akhirah. The person, الَّذِي نَامَ عَنِ السَّلَاةِ, person who sleeps through the salah. Person who doesn't practice the Qur'an. What will happen to that individual? Their head will be smashed with a rock. Time and time again. But this is the punishment of such an individual who doesn't practice what they preach. And the Qur'an should awaken us, encourage us to preach the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's as we mentioned, after Ramadan, this becomes a sickness that we find in front of us. Amongst the amrad that we find, we practice what we desire, what we like. Look at the average Muslim. Average Muslim, they practice what they desire, what they like. They dress how, for many of our respected sisters, they'll dress how they feel is right. We're not telling you that you have to obey your father or your brother or your husband. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey the Quran. Obey the teachings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's crystal clear. It's not babul ikhtilaf. There's no ikhtilaf. There's no difference of opinion. The only difference of opinion the fuqaha had was maybe a hand of a woman or a face, which we can slightly to a certain degree that we can accept. Other than that, there's no difference of opinion in the fuqaha about the dress sense, that what we find in today's society. Because this is a symbol, what we practice, what we desire. We take from the Quran what we like. And likewise, we find we pick and choose. The men of this Muslim ummah will pick and choose. There are certain things that we do, but if we want to deal in riba, in interest, or we want to deal in haram transactions for the wider good, for the community around us, if you want to work in an environment of ikhtilat bayna rijal wa nisa for the wider good, for the wider benefit that we have, we're picking and choosing. If we accepted that, yes, I'm doing wrong and it's not right, that's a different case. But if we say that this is a modern interpretation, a modern world, so we have to follow these things and there's no real harm in doing these things inside our life, becomes dangerous. Then we have another sickness, an ego to encourage other individuals, to always be worried about other individuals that we find. And thus we find that if not the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, these 12 or 13 ayat begin by speaking about Al-Munafiqoon. As we mentioned many times, why? That's what we need to reflect upon inside our lives. Look at the companions, they were worried. When the names of Al-Munafiqoon were given to the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, they weren't like us, what we think today, that I'm free. فَلَا تُزَكُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. I'm going to go into Jannah. I'm not going to be punished. Read the seerah. How many companions were worried that maybe my name may be in that list, that qa'ima, that register of al-munafiqun. Umar ibn Khattab, he was searching. Can any Muslim today even have that thought that Umar ibn Khattab was a munafiq? But look at him, he was so over-worried. Pushing and asking, is my name inside that list, just to make sure, double check. But they've been guaranteed paradise. But they're worried that maybe my name may be somewhere along that list. And we don't seem to be worried. We don't seem to care. Let's look at these symbols that Allah mentions about al-munafiqun that we can reflect as a Muslim ummah. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاؤُنَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Yes, the Muslim ummah is praying. That's what people will say. But look how the deeper, intricate details of the Quran. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. When they stand for salah, they stand in a state of laziness. And the strange thing is that this laziness isn't even hidden. The laziness for us Muslims is apparent. It's visible how we stand inside as salah. Is it in a state of tadarru'? Is it in a state of khushu? Is it a state of absent-mindedness, wondering, looking around, fidgeting, moving around? It's all visible. We can't even say, we don't know what's inside their hearts. It's visible. In the hadith, it mentioned that if a person's heart was content, they wouldn't move around so much. There would be no fidgeting inside their salah. If their heart is at rest, they'll be, to the best of their ability, will be focusing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. We find that if they do pray, they're praying to show people. As you find that the cameras will be there, people will be there, the entourage will be there to show, look at us, we're praying. And Allah mentions the inner meaning. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Even if they're doing this, Allah says that deep down, they're not even remembering Allah. A minute amount, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their salahs. And thus we find that the verses, context, obviously as we know inside Surah An-Nisa, speak about munafiqun. But once again, the lesson that we need to understand. So many of us are worried how people pray. Whether people pray 20, people pray 8, whether they place their hands on their chest, whether they do raful yadain, whether they say ta'min khalf al-imam, at-taharruk bil-isba' fi at-tashahud, whether they move their finger like this, whether they do this, do that. All of this is khair, is goodness, there's no doubt. And we encourage people to come closer to the sunnah. In the hadith in Bukhari, sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli, pray as you've seen me praying. But some people, their whole life revolves around this. Their whole life revolves around this. Their whole life becomes this. That's all that they're worried about. And they've forgotten lubbus salah. They've forgotten the inner ingredient of salah, al-khushu, qad aflah al-mu'minun, al-ladhina hum fi salatim khashi'un. They've forgotten as-sunan, al-nawafil, al-rawatib. They've forgotten extra prayers.
supererogatory prayers, nawafil prayers, more prayers for strengthening their salah, their reward inside the akhirah. That's what many of us, that we've forgotten, that we have no sunnah or nawafil inside our lives. Then again, if you stay with the theme of a salah inside Surah Tawbah, which is again another a surah, many ayat speaking about al-munafiqoon that we find. وَلَا يَأْتُونَ الصَّلَاةَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كُسَالَى وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. Once again, Allah mentioned, don't come to salah except for wahum kusala, in a state of laziness, in easy language, dragging their feet. People around us are praying, it's Jum'ah, it's Ramadan, so I may as well just come and join in with people, in a state of laziness, dragging their feet to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا وَهُمْ كَارِهُونَ. And they do, some of them do spend their money, but they have no choice. Zakah needs to be taken from them, so they give it. Maybe they have to give some wealth, so they may give it. But deep down inside their hearts, they despise it. They're disliking it. They don't want to give their wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's in simple terms that we find. We don't practice what we preach. And as we find inside the Quran, Allah begins the surah by mentioning, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Oh, you believe, why do you say that which you don't do? This is grave, this is something immense, weighty in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you say something that you don't do. This is something, an immense sin. Min al-kaba'ir. In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person doesn't practice what they preach. يَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِمْ مَا لَيْسَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ مَا يَكْتُمُونَ. Even this ayat, a harsh ayat speaking about al-munafiqoon and hypocrites. But once again, the general meaning, the thrust of the meaning, we can understand it inside our lives to awaken us. They say with their hearts that which is not in, they say with their tongues that which is not inside their hearts. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يَكْتُمُونَ. And Allah knows what they conceal. So we can take a general lesson that we should be very careful of what we utter to people, if it doesn't really exist inside our hearts, and we want to carry out this action inside our own lives. And as we return back to the hadith, فَتَمْدَلِقُ أَقْطَابُ بَطْنِهِ. His entrails, intestines are thrown out of his stomach. فَيَدُورُ بِهَا كَمَا يَدُورُ الْحِمَارُ بِالرَّحَى. So he's walking around like a donkey who's walking around the grindstone, exposed in front of every single individual on the Day of Judgment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and not expose us on the Day of Judgment, on that day whereby there is no veiling and no protection. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. We find unfortunate that some of us may start taking these texts, or we find what's common among some of us, that we always go to the opposite. That where something has been encouraged to do, or there's maybe warnings about certain things, we fall into another snare of shaitan, a talbis of iblis, and say, maybe I shouldn't do this action. Maybe I shouldn't order the good, I shouldn't forbid the evil, because I'm a hypocritical individual. As a side point, all of us are hypocritical individuals, because then none of us should preach the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us should speak about Islam. There's all obviously gradings. There's gradings of nifaq that exist there inside the sharia. Person, without a doubt, should avoid al-nifaq, al-i'tiqadi, any form of hypocritical belief that should be totally wiped out of their slate. Then you find al-nifaq al-amali that can exist in all of us. And a person should try to wash that away, make that minimal. Shouldn't let their nifaq al-amri come to such a stage that they just, as we mentioned, is worried about other people and not practice that inside their lives. Thus, we find the other extreme that some people, based upon this hadith, say, don't order the good, don't forbid the evil. Because you have elements of hypocrisy, you shouldn't order the good and forbid the evil. This is another trap that we find that many Muslims say this today. If not based on this hadith, they'll say, there's no need to order the good and forbid the evil. Just leave it, leave everybody the way they are. Ulama speak about this hadith, they mention that the blame isn't on ordering the good and forbidding the evil. The blame is on the sin of this individual, the intention of this individual. Ordering the good and forbidding the evil, it remains. It needs to be done irrespective. We can't now say that, oh, because I don't do this action, that I shouldn't speak about this action. Maybe certain actions is not in our capability. But a father has to order his children. Even though he may not do certain things himself, but he has to order certain things. A commandment that he has to do, he has to fulfill, he has to encourage them. We can't use excuses, but you never done that at your age, or you didn't do that. That's a time that's gone. Person should look at the present. That's what they should look at. They should look at the future and what they want to instill inside this Muslim ummah, amongst their children, etc., that we find inside our lives. And the cure of removing this sickness, of being over-worried about other individuals that we find, of worrying about what other individuals will do is firstly that we find sincerity, ikhlas. That when we do our actions, we should be sincere inside our actions. That it should be full of sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the actions that we do ourselves. And build upon doing actions in secrecy. So actions that we may encourage other individuals to do, in secrecy we should be strong on those actions. And this is a relationship between oneself and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that way if a person does encourage people to do certain actions, they're already doing those actions inside their own life and just trying to encourage other people. Thirdly, find to make dua ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqama. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Our Lord, do not derail our hearts after you've guided us. The person should be making that dua. At-tawfiq, al-hidayah min Allah. Guidance is from Allah. Istiqama is from Allah. A person should always pray that. Should be always worried about asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remain steadfast. And when a person does advise other individuals, don't look down upon other individuals. Don't have the intent to expose another person to find their mistakes or to exploit their mistakes. Don't have that intention. That if something comes across you, your intention isn't that. That's why a Muslim, when he advises, he covers, he conceals, he advises in a good manner towards his brothers. Likewise, not to overburden oneself, to burn oneself out. As we mentioned, many young Muslims, they have this passion of Islam, and they, because maybe, may Allah forbid, because of their sins and their life that we find, and they become overzealous then of the practice of Islam. Then they burn out. The same way that they jumped in, the same way that they jump out. And as we mentioned, we have only Muslims who are Ramadan Muslims, that their life is only about Ramadan. And then after Ramadan, it's going back to their normal lives. And that's ulama mentioned that and assign the impact of actions and good deeds. What's a sign of a good deed being accepted? What's a sign that the good deed is having an impact upon the individual? As-salah ila as-salah. Wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ah. Wa-ramadan ila ramadan. Kaffaratun. Is an expiation whatever took place between these two, as long as the person stays away from the kaba'i, the major sins. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi explained his hadith. He mentions a new explanation. He says that the impact of one salah travels to the next salah. The impact of one jum'ah goes to the following jum'ah. And the impact of one Ramadan travels all the way to the following Ramadan. That's something that many of us, we fail to understand, or we fail to live. Or the impact isn't there. The impact of our Ramadan, may Allah forbid, is only from Ramadan and inside Ramadan until the 29th or 30th day of Ramadan. Then at the beginning of Shawwal, it's over. It's finished. Why? Because we began with our fundamentals in our focusing in Ramadan are not there. When this is the ideal opportunity of ibadah sirriya, of quiet personal ibadah in secrecy, no one to disturb you, to read Quran, to read tafsir, to read hadith, to read seerah, to reflect, to ponder, to spend time with one's family members, to develop their character, their behavior. This is the ideal opportunity. As we know that living in an environment that even just to drop your kids to school, it could take what? It could take over an hour. So 2 to 3 hours are just spent in a day just in transporting. So naturally the person finds fatigue, finds it difficult. Shopping, work, other commitments a person has. All of this has been, alhamdulillah, dismantled. Yes, financially it may be a burden and difficult for many of us. But spiritually, it's an ideal opportunity. Spiritually, it's an ideal opportunity to focus on our iman and devotion towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we end with a final parable that occurs inside the Quran of a strong warning of people of intellect, people of knowledge, people of understanding. We find a strong warning about this individual, narrating the story of this individual who gave him our ayat, our signs, gave him knowledge. Ibn Kathir in his tafsir mentions this individual, the name of Bal'am, or such nature, his name of this individual, Ayyhal, whatever the individual it was, but in general conclusion, is a person of Bani Israel, the time of Musa, knowledge was given to this individual. He didn't aid the message of Musa alayhi salam. He went against it. He spoke out against him. So this individual, فَأَتْبَعُوا الشَّيْطَانِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ. He followed the way of shaitan and became amongst one of the losing individuals. The honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. If he had practiced what he'd preached, is a loose understanding here, we would have raised him inside this dunya. But because he didn't practice that, we began to take him down to the inner depths of the earth. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ. He began to follow his lust and his desires. And you know, as a side point, many of us, we think a shirk billah is only a shirk, al-awthan of worshipping idols, statues, graves, etc. The shirk of hawa, shirk of worshipping your lust, your desires, following your inner feelings, is also a form of shirk that many of us haven't wiped out, haven't washed out. And we should be worried about that. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts this human being in a derogatory manner. Very rarely inside the Quran that Allah speaks about the human being in such a lowly, in a derogatory manner. Allah mentioned this individual who doesn't practice what they preach. فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. Is like a dog. If he sticks his tongue out, if he wags his tongue, he lolls his tongue out, or he puts it in, makes no difference. A dog is a dog, is lost. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about people who don't practice what they preach, that it makes no difference. They're lost individuals. Then Allah ends this ayah, this cluster of ayah that I'm mentioning, فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Narrate to them these stories that they may begin to reflect. And that's what we began with, these stories inside ahadith, inside the Quran, and this depiction, this image is there for us to reflect, to better ourselves, and to not become amongst those individuals exposed to this punishment, but rather to come the depiction of people of paradise, people of Jannah, and that reward that's mentioned inside the Quran. And that's what we should thrive upon, that inside this month of Ramadan, look at those ayat of Jannah, of reward, of goodness, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the na'im of Jannah, and seek refuge from the punishment of al-adhab al-nar, of the punishment of the hellfire.